the beginning of this week, and such is the effect Brexit has on our perceptions of time, the beginning of this week now feels like something that happened before the Boer War. There was a gathering consensus that a denouement to the Brexit fiasco was at last looming. The UK's Prime Minister Theresa May, now making the limbless and defiant Black Knight from Monty Python and the Holy Grail seem a model of philosophical pragmatism, was seeking to put her EU withdrawal deal to Parliament for the third time, uncowed by the fact that its previous two submissions had resulted in the biggest and fourth biggest defeats ever inflicted on a British government's bill.
The ayes to the right, 242. The noes to the left, 391.
A view was nevertheless forming that May's plan for another go was not quite as mad as it sounded, that with the March 29th deadline looming, all but the most crazed of Brexiter headbangers would understand that May's route out of the EU was now the only one realistically on offer, and fall in behind it. A vote cast reluctantly counts the same as any other. There might still have been a delay. It is far from clear that Parliament has time to enact all necessary legislation before March 29th, but the 2016 referendum result would be honoured. The UK would be leaving the EU. May had emphasised, and correctly, that any delay without a defined end would risk this blessed event not occurring at all.
And as I say, there is a danger with a failure to agree a deal that actually could end up in a situation where we have no Brexit at all.
On Monday, however, the Speaker of the House, John Bercow,
order,
in the manner perhaps of a boxing referee taking mercy on a battered, barely conscious contender and calling the fight, confounded May's scheme. Bercow invoked a splendidly vintage precedent of parliamentary procedure dating back to 1604, which precludes governments from pestilential repeat introductions of bills previously voted down.
What the government cannot legitimately do is to resubmit to the House the same proposition, or substantially the same proposition, as that of last week, which was rejected by 149 votes.
May seemed genuinely surprised by Bercow's intervention, though she should not have been, mostly because Bercow appears to have a legitimate point, but at least partly because throughout the Brexit process, Bercow has given every indication of very much enjoying the brighter-than-usual spotlight it has shone upon the Speaker's chair.
Order!
Unless substantial changes were made to Theresa May's bill, ruled Bercow, it would not be readmitted. Given that substantial changes do not seem possible without the acquiescence of the EU, who have already made it clear that there won't be any, that would appear to be it. Unless, inevitably, this being Brexit, it isn't. As we go to air, various ruses are being suggested for dragging May's withdrawal agreement back into the ring, including a vote to overrule the Speaker, or even asking the Queen to prorogue the current session of Parliament and then open a new one. Although, again, with barely 8 damn days to go until Brexit is supposed to happen, it is debatable that there is much more time for such nonsense. If it's hard enough to make sense of what has happened, making sense of what will happen is like teaching a dog to play the banjo. You could try, but what would be the point? It's possible to say what the possible outcomes are. The current default of a no-deal Brexit, an orderly Brexit next Thursday as planned, a delay to Brexit, a general election, a second referendum, but such has been the upending of logic by Brexit that, though one of these surely has to occur, they all seem somehow unlikely. We have reached the point at which an invasion of England by Scotland wouldn't seem all that surprising on balance, and would in many respects be a relief. Meanwhile, in keeping with the self-satirising tradition which has characterised Brexit from the off, this past weekend the unregenerate Brexit ultras of the Leave Means Leave campaign commenced an epic march from Sunderland to London to protest what they perceive as the imminent betrayal. In miserable cold and pouring rain, the few dozen woebegone souls who reported for the march to leave, as it is known, were led by Nigel Farage, at least for about the first 500 yards. Very arguably not the first time Farage has got a bunch of credulous saps wound up about some vainglorious folly and then left them to it when the going got tough. As we go to air, little is known of whatever survivors are plodding grimly on schedule, assuming they have not given up or run wild and resorted to cannibalism. These forlorn footsore stragglers are shortly due in Pontefract. They are entitled to observe, however, that lonely, wet and or deluded though they may be, they have a better idea of where they're going than the rest of the country does. For Monocle 24, I'm Andrew Muller.